with the Quality News Network. The Supreme Court ruled today that states can redraw congressional districts whenever they want. The court ruled that it was not unconstitutional for Texas to redraw its lines in 2003, which resulted in the gain of several seats for Republicans. However, the court also agreed that Hispanic voting rights were violated in one district. In Ramallah, Israelis arrested a member of the Hamas government today while thousands of troops and tanks poured into Gaza. The offensive is aimed at winning the release of an Israeli hostage. Because airstrikes have knocked out water and electricity, the Palestinians are warning of potential epidemics and health hazards. Also today, Israeli warplanes flew by the residence of Syria's president. An Israeli official says there is a direct link between that country and Hamas, and that Israeli forces hope to assassinate a hardline member of Hamas who's exiled there. In Iraq, nearly a dozen Sunni insurgent groups say they'll halt their attacks as long as U.S. forces leave within 2 years. But President Nouri al-Maliki says he doesn't know if Iraqi forces will be able to take over security by that time. In Washington, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan says the country is plagued by terrorism as well as drugs and corruption. In order to ensure the country's viability, he says the fight against these and other forces must continue. In Moscow tomorrow, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is expected to join international talks on Iran's nuclear program. She arrived there today from Afghanistan, where she said the U.S. will continue to support President Hamid Karzai. In Washington, the Bush administration has issued new guidelines to prevent the theft of personal information on employees and civilians. Federal civilian agencies now have 45 days to implement the new security measures. In Washington, lawmakers are revising the regulations that govern welfare-to-work programs. Under current guidelines, at least half of the welfare recipients must be in approved work activities in order for states to receive federal funding. Each state is now allowed to decide what constitutes a work activity, but the federal government will now have more say in that. Thousands of residents in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, and Maryland have been forced to evacuate as flooding continues. In the Northeast, up to 12 people have been killed. The governor of Nevada has also declared a state of emergency as crews continue fighting dozens of fires sparked by lightning. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Senate has approved the nomination of Goldman Sachs head Henry Paulson to become the next Treasury Secretary. Both parties endorsed his nomination. The Federal Reserve started the first of a two-day meeting today, which is expected to end with a 5.25% rate hike. It will be the 17th successive hike. A new survey finds that most retirees in the U.S. will not receive health benefits from their employers. 95% of the companies surveyed say they plan to reduce that coverage over the next 5 years. Daimler Chrysler says its smart car will be available in the U.S. starting in 2008. The two-seater will be aimed at trendy urban consumers on the East and West Coasts. Honda says it will build a new $500 million assembly plant in Indiana. It will employ 2,000 workers and produce 200,000 vehicles each year. Starting in the fall, Verizon says subscribers who cancel their service early will not have to pay such a hefty cancellation fee. The fees will be prorated so they match the time left on their contracts. FBI agents in the New York City area have broken up two international movie piracy rings. Bootlegging has reportedly cost the movie picture industry millions of dollars. Light sweet crude settled at $72.19 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 49 points at 10,974. NASDAQ up 12 at 2112. S&P 500 up 7 at 1246. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
This is a top to a, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
the amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes, you know, be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366.
Everybody, welcome aboard Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. My name is John Fox in Sydney, Australia, and man, I got a bunch of stuff. We got some Australian content this evening because, well, we had a little bit of a workers' protest and a strike yesterday here, which we'll get into a little bit, and the Howard came out and, well, tried to pull that kind of, it's just a focus group kind of line, but we'll get there in a minute. As normal, we are chatting at headonradionetwork.com. Click on the chat link, dive in the pool. Quick registration if you've never been there. The show is being produced, Virginia Studios, by the one, the only Bob Kincaid, who had a scorcher of a show. Talking about making it hard to concentrate on my own prep. I mean, that second interview, talking about what's going on in Guantanamo, I mean, this is a discussion that we need to have. I mean, and, you know, how has it gone on so long that we haven't had this discussion openly? Because I agree, these are concentration camps, and not only that, you know, we're building more of them within U.S. borders. You know, there's that one that reports say can hold a 500,000 people up in Alaska. You know, I don't know what to say other than that is absolutely frightening. But before I get into major rants, I think we should have a little bit of fun. So, Bob's downloading a couple of clips that I sent to him for the show, and as soon as he has those ready, we'll run a couple things. There's a program I've mentioned that runs down here called The Glass House, and it's on the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, and thank you for the ABC, because otherwise we probably wouldn't even watch television. But The Glass House is a weekly comedy panel series, current events series, and, you know, it's hosted by it's Will Anderson, who's just a really brilliant comic, and he has a couple of co-hosts, and We're going to go, Bob, we're going to go with Husey first, but just hold on for a second. Just stand by. Now, Husey is probably one of my absolute favorite Australian comics, and he would take no offense to me saying this. He's kind of a goofy-looking guy, but he is so unbelievably Australian, and he's kind of got a bit of that old Bobcat Goldthwait quality to him, but not quite as manic. And, you know, the whole thing about, what's his name, that left all his money to, you know, Bill Gates to give away. Well, this one's actually for you, Bob, because I missed it, but Gail said you were having a really, really great rant about population. Well, Husey kind of goes on the absurdity of the whole thing from another angle. This is just awesome. Go ahead and roll this Husey clip on from the Glass House on the ABC.
Richest man in the world, Warren Buffett, is giving most of his fortune away to the richest man in the world, Bill Gates, so he can give it away to charity. It's the biggest suck job I've seen since Paris Hilton Bar's DVD. Honestly. I mean, he's giving his... Warren Buffett, he's a share trader. That's how he made his money. So he's never actually done any work, and he can't even be bothered giving his money away. He's giving it to someone else to give it away for him. You're a disgrace, Warren Buffett. You're 75 years old anyway. You don't need your billions of dollars. And you're giving it to Bill Gates, the richest man in the world. He's already got a charity worth $40 billion. I mean, it's a charity. It's worth $40 billion. Give me some money, you blood. I'm not giving you money. You're worth a fortune. It's the biggest charity in the world. It's going to be a monopoly. He'll bloody buy out all the other charities, so he's got the biggest and only charity in the world. That is great. Honestly. And you know what Bill Gates' charity does? It's trying to cure diseases. You know, I've got a disease in me computer, Bill. Cure me virus before you cure people's diseases. You're meant to be a computer man, not a bloody charity person. Bloody hell, you made me angry. I'm going to explode!
Husey's just a genius. And I'm sorry. He's definitely an Australian treasure, that guy, because I think he comes out, that's part of, they each do a little bit of a monologue at the top of the show before they sit around with a couple of guests and have some, interesting banter. The second clip, if we've got time for it, is also from the Glass House, and this is the host, Will Anderson, and this is just to let you guys know up there in the United States that the, shall we say, nut jobs are not exclusive to American politics. Listen to this little rant and a clip on, just white Australia. Run the other one, please.
The government is having a big internal stoush over changes to asylum seeker laws, with a handful of rebel backbenchers taking on the white Australian majority. Here's what that well-known humanitarian Wilson Tuckey had to say.
If you think this legislation should be chucked out, and you want people from all over the world living in your street, well, you tell me.
What a tuckwit. Dear Mr. Tuckey, we don't want you living in our street. Signed, Indigenous Australians.
I got a mate of mine that I think is in the studio audience for that show every week, and I think I know why he waits in line. that's one of those things that Australia and America hold together, is that you have this part of the population that loves to talk about keeping the place for, you know, real Americans and real Australians, but the moment that you bring up, you know, the indigenous people that were slaughtered on the way in by these people that you're calling the real this or that, it's kind of like when you pose that question to a right-wing conservative, you know, what do you think the purpose of government is in society? It's another really good conversation we need to have. You know, and I put. I'm glad I had things running last night to grab some of that Glasshouse stuff because this teeny country feels smaller and smaller all the time with its media because it continues to just kind of shrink. And you don't get anything like this on any commercial network, nothing like this anywhere. But yet this funny little show of 25 minutes in total length has been going for like a good 5 years, and suddenly on the last two, just seemed like they grew an extra set of fangs. And I'll bring some more audio from those folks later. You can get in on the program by dialing into 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Don't forget, we're chatting over in the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. And you can shoot me an email, John, J-O-N, at fourthestateradio.com. And I don't know, we're going to go out, take a little bit of a break. I hear some funky bass guitar there, or was that just... Oh, okay, it disappeared. Anyway, maybe we're not going out yet. Anyway, I have a couple things lined up for later on in the week, and they're becoming more and more solid all the time. Looks like I am going to get Mr. Steve Keen in sometime in the next day or two to speak to us about platypus economics, which is a new piece that he's written that I haven't actually had a chance to go and have a read yet. But this guy, you know, he has a real knack at cutting through the nonsense when in economics. You know, he just does a great job, and he can make it fairly you know, entertaining. You know. If you caught the lecture from last month, you would have gotten a feel for this and that interview. But this, and also coming up on Fourth Estate on the weekend, I have an interview with this month's lecturer, Mr. Stephen Sewell, who is a controversial and well-known Australian playwright. And he had a really interesting discussion about theater's place in a time in history like we stand in now, where, you know, creativity, the arts are challenged. Anyway, I'm hearing music. All right, folks, now we're going to take a break, have a couple of messages. Jump in the chat room, get on the phone, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Ready?
Not.
Ready?
Not.
Your body's been ready for quite some time.
Not.
Ready?
But not your mind.
Ready?
Not.
Ready?
No way.
You have lots to do before you have a baby. But don't forget to take folic acid today and every day to prevent birth defects one special day. So when all of you is ready, that baby of yours will be ready to take on the world.
Ready?
Not.
Ready.
Are rising fuel prices keeping you at home? Then here's some good news from the IRS. First, your purchase of a new hybrid or electric vehicle entitles you to a tax deduction that could amount to several thousand dollars. And you don't have to itemize to get this tax break. Second, If you're claiming the standard mileage rate for business travel in 2005, remember to figure in the 8 cents per mile increase for the last 4 months of the year. For more news on tax deductions, visit IRS.gov.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
No, you just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8 too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Fox Up, everybody, here on the Head On Radio Network, growing by leaps and bounds all the time. You can get in on the conversation by ringing into 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 877-4-HEAD-ON. Excuse me, I almost lost my headphones there. Everything's all groovy, man. Except for when it comes to industrial relations here in Australia. However, the union influence here is becoming stronger all the time. And you may have heard me mention on Monday and also Saturday night that it was a call for a national strike and protest for Wednesday in Sydney, which was, well, yesterday, where you guys are, most of you. And up to 300,000 people rallied around Australia yesterday. This is out of the Sydney Morning Herald, which you can get to at smh.com.au, and it's one of the top stories there. 300,000 people rallied around Australia yesterday to oppose the laws which unions say strip workers of entitlements like penalty rates, holiday pay, overtime, and meal allowances. And these are the industrial relations legislation that I've spoken about that had passed, and basically, you can be let go for no reason. They have removed virtually every availability to have any kind of hearing for, unlawful or improper dismissal. And then they can turn around and hire you back for your same job in the same breath under an independent contract, which strips you of all of your overtime rates. So, you know, like in the States, you know, the old adage of, you know, after 40 hours, time and a half, that kind of thing. Just imagine if, you know, you were someone that put in that 60, 70 hours a week, you know, and that 60 and 70 hours a week at that tawdry rate that you've been given, once you add on that 20 to 30 hours of overtime at time and a half and double time, and that's, and that compensation is because you've given up all that time from your family and actually living a life. And suddenly, in the fell swoop of a pen, the outfit that you may have served for 30 years, in some cases, can turn around and say, you're no longer, I'm just no longer willing to support you, and I want you to still do your job and be on the street, lose your home. You know, and you know, this is a middle-of-the-week thing where most people in Australia already work under these new guidelines, because over the last couple of years, companies have pretty much only been hiring on these. This legislation allowed them to just, wherever business wanted to, just change their mind. And even made it illegal for your union representative on the job site to even mention the existence of the union to a new employee. Can't even talk about it. You'll be jailed. You know, I mean, this is just sad. And then you have John Howard, who's off launching a natural gas deal in China. And the natural gas reserves in this country could save this country from its continually rising burden to the oil industry. And he basically says, this guy's a piece of work, I'm telling you. You know, he's really weaselly, this guy. He's just a weasel. Talk out of both sides of his mouth at the same time. Says Prime Minister John Howard has dismissed mass protests against his government's workplace laws, insisting that a silent majority supports the controversial changes. The silent majority, right, okay. Howard has also repeated his claim that Labor's plan changes to the laws. They've threatened, they're saying if Labor gets back in power, they're going to throw them right out. Would cripple Australia's booming resources industry. Is that so? Now, you know, this is another example, just like in the United States, where, you know, you have a government in place that's selling off the nation's human natural resources at an alarming rate, and none of it really going to benefit the people. And this is why John Howard was protested in Canada when he visited last month, because our unions here got a hold of their unions there and said, your new boy wants to do this there. I suggest you get out there and make noise, because we didn't make enough here. And what's really, really interesting is I had an early insight into it, because just like in the United States, things get written in the middle of the night, slid in as an extra page. And, you know, they passed some safety legislation for the entertainment industry here in New South Wales, so I know this personally. And they slipped these independent contract measures on our industry, all by its lonesome, to test it. And I can tell you, it has just further ground an already struggling industry of the people that actually do the work. It's basically shut it down. As far, you know, it really, really has. It's all independent, anything that's happening. But anyway, we need to take a break, I do believe. Coming down on the bottom of the hour. Oh, I feel a rant coming on. Could come up after this break. Anyway, folks, we're going to take a couple of minutes, a couple of messages. You're listening to John Fox on Fox Stuff here on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
Still looking for weapons of mass destruction? concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Our children will always outgrow us, but for the first time in generations, they may not outlive us. Over the last 25 years, the percent of overweight children has doubled, a problem that could be greatly reduced just by having a place to exercise. Right now, people are working hard to put parks and playgrounds where children will use them. Log on to earthshare.org today and find out how you can help. A public service message brought to you by EarthShare and the Ad Council.
1 + 1 = 2. Eat ice cream too fast and you'll get a brain freeze. Always talk quietly in the library.
If you're going to be 2 hours late, pick up the phone and call!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
The Native American Journalists Association is calling out to tomorrow's reporters, photographers, editors, and publishers to represent Native perspectives.
Today's agreement allows the Nebraska State Patrol and Winnebago Tribal Police to share enforcement.
The tribe is taking its concerns to the Bureau of Reclamation, which manages and
Native American inmates have filed suit against the prison.
Go to NAJA.com to learn more about membership and benefits. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
I get the impression my producer's trying to mellow me out or something. Nice choice, Bob. Welcome back to the show, everybody. John Fox here on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. Jump in the chat room. Get on the phone. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. Join the party. I some of the boys through the afternoon touched on some of the right-wing reaction to Al Gore's film, An Inconvenient Truth, and the title is just brilliant. Before I get into just how ridiculous all the poo-pooing of Al is, Gail found this last night, and you can find a link to The Independent on 12thharmonic.net on our blog. Now, just tell me what rings wrong about this. Britain's first olive grove is a sign of our hotter times. They're now going to start an olive industry in the UK. I'm sorry, this almost makes me speechless. You know, it's like watching weathermen in Chicago in late winter in a t-shirt on the news. And why aren't they jumping up and down screaming going, this ain't right? But it says here, The Independent says, in one of the most remarkable signs yet of the advance of global warming, Britain's first olive grove has been planted in Devon. Temperatures have risen so far in recent years that it is now considered possible to grow the iconic fruit of the Mediterranean countries commercially in South England. Hello? Bueller? Bueller? Hey, Bob, can we have a hello, Cleveland? Maybe not. But, I mean, think about this. Just think about this. They're growing commercial olives in the UK. I don't care how much education and science and the environment you may have. This is layman's type stuff here. You're not supposed to be able to grow olives commercially as far north as the UK. So this prompted me to kind of go back in time a little bit.
Hello, one of the Cleveland! Beautiful... Hello, Cleveland!
Thank you, Bob. One more time for those that don't get we're burning up the planet.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Thank you. So I decided to go back in time. It's one of the beautiful things about having... years, because you're able to go back and go, what was that thing that I was talking about last year? Okay, I just went and clicked on the little category that says environment. And going back to, when is this? This would be August 31st, 2004. Okay, just going back a little bit. German scientists probing global warming said that they had detected a major temperature rise this year in the Arctic Ocean and linked it to a progressive shrinking of the region's sea ice. Temperatures recorded this year. Now, this is 2004, and it keeps getting worse. It hasn't gotten any better. It says temperatures reached this year in the upper 500 meters of the sea. In the Fram Strait, the gap between Greenland and the Norwegian island of Pittsburgen were up 0.6 degrees centigrade. That's 1.08 degrees Fahrenheit, higher than 2003. Now, what you have to understand here... Sorry, I keep losing my headphones. I've done a bad rigging job on them today, and I keep stepping on my own cable. Thing you have to understand is that these currents are these currents that I've talked about that keep the northern area from turning into a block of ice completely in the winter. Now, you say that this doesn't make any sense. Talking about warmer, But there's a problem. These currents run all the way down to the other end of the planet. And it's this massive kind of circular thing. And it dives down, the water's cooled, they dive down to the bottom of the ocean, flow down to the other end, and come back up as they warm up. But it's the consistent motion of this thing that is most important. and it's losing its flow rate. And if anyone, you know, I would imagine that a few people in the chat room, a few people listening to the show have read The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight from Tom Hartman. And he describes this in great detail. And one of the things that we really have to get over in this discussion is that it's not centuries away anymore. It's not a century anymore, the idea of an ice age, because no matter how much we don't know, what we do know guides us in the right direction. And what we have learned more recently, and most of the good scientists are backing this up, in fact, all of them are, and I'll get into some of that regarding Al Gore's film a little later, that it's not, you know, a decades-long kind of turning of the switch till the Ice Age kicks in. It can happen as fast as over two. Think about that. Now, it's a complex issue, but they all have some pretty, actually, simple fixes. And simple, I don't mean easy. We need to change the way we operate things in our day-to-day lives. And all this screaming at Al Gore in his film saying that he's a fearmonger, I'm sorry, it's just nonsense. It's garbage. Because he's not creating the fear. What he's doing is putting across the facts. And the facts are severe. And you know, Mike Malloy is, you know, this has said this before. This is a subject that you just try not to do on radio, even though you'd love to, because it makes for somewhat difficult radio. But, you know, it's one of these things. It's like, sorry, too bad for you. It's time that this situation started to inconvenience you. You know, this whole thing with Bill Gates and you know, the whole curing the world's diseases, you know, it's really hard to argue against something like that. You know, it drives me nuts. These people drive me nuts. Actually curing all the world's diseases. Just doing that, and I think this is what Bob was talking about yesterday or the day before. We got a population problem. We have a serious population problem. And we're burning all of our resource fuels to keep it going. You know, we've been, Gail and I, my partner and I, have been doing a lot of research over the last couple of years about environmental living. Everybody's going to go, oh, geez, John, roll up another one, fire up the incense. But no. We don't know everything. Never said we will. But however, we do have the ability to order books from anywhere on the internet. And so we have done so. And one of the books that we have gotten, and anyone that wants to see people having living spaces that actually work with this planet as opposed to against it, may I suggest a really, really great book. It's kind of big. It's got some really great photos in it. It's called Homework, Hand-Built Shelter by Lloyd Kahn. And shows different ways of building a living space. Because we that you know, try to profess green living and changes and all this other kind of stuff, actually just trying to live within the means of our little planet here, construction is actually one of the quiet, most evil offenders. And I suggest getting The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, and when you read about the waste in just producing concrete and the amount of actual fossil fuels that it takes to mine, manufacture, transport, mix, and retransport every yard of concrete is shocking. And people go, but, you know, how are we going to do this? Well, there are alternatives, and there's some great ones here from, you know, when it comes to smaller structures doing things just out of basically mud and straw that can be beautifully rendered. I mean, some of these homes, I mean, they're not cookie cutter. They have character, and they show people where they're using new technologies like water ram technologies to be able to get enough power to power their homes. And we've looked into some of this stuff. And I'll talk about some of this stuff here. I'll flip through a couple things in this book just to tell you what's actually out there and how even these same ideas for being at one with the planet, with your daily life, also can save you from the hell of a mortgage, a massive one, because most of these things can be done by the average person and with very little money. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to see if I can flip through and find this great little story about, I believe it's a Canadian family where mom and the two kids bought some land, and they built their own house. I mean, how cool would it be to be a kid and say, I helped build the place I sleep in? Wouldn't that be awesome? Anyway, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, coming to you live from Sydney, and we will be back straight after this.
Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The Millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights, for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, on yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
Here on the Head On Radio Network. I'm John Fox in Sydney, Australia. And I've been talking about the fact that we're continually ignoring the fact that Mother Nature is getting ready to revolt against the virus, which is the human race. Because regardless of what happens, the planet will still be here. Whether we're able to live on it or not is a completely different story. Now, you know, I started this whole thing talking about the fact that the first commercial olive plantations are being planted in the UK. I don't know what to say. You know, I mean, monopolizing on something like this just, to me, is just complete lunacy. Or at least let the profits from the crops go into alternative energy. I don't know. Try and find some way to get around that. So, you know, there was that. Go back. Where's this? Then there's November 2004. Oceans to rise 1 meter by 2100. Okay, that's, you know, a little bit more than a yard. That's a lot. you know, any of you that live near a, you know, a beach somewhere, go stand at low tide and then picture it being a meter higher. You know, that groovy little fish and chip shop that you like probably won't be able to function anymore. In fact, I reckon if it goes as it looks like it's going, virtually every surf life-saving club in Australia, which is like a massive national icon, will be underwater. You know, like Bob Kincaid said, telling his kids in West Virginia, never sell this land. It'll be beachfront property one day. Probably end up with some interesting cliff faces with the mountaintop removal down there, eh, Bob? Anyway. So, you have... I've got to click through my links here and find this thing. Okay. Earlier in the day's proceedings... Earlier in the day's proceedings before this program, I believe both Bruce Birch and Bob Kincaid touched on this. The fact that the right is trying to poo-poo an inconvenient truth. And I don't know how they're getting away with it, because here's what I find at sfgate.com from the AP. It says, scientists okay Gore's movie for accuracy. Bloody facts. Screw with these people all the time with the facts. The nation's top climate scientists are giving an inconvenient truth, Al Gore's documentary on global warming, 5 stars for accuracy. Bob, can we have a hello, Cleveland? We'll get that.
Hello, Cleveland!
I'm going to say it one more time. The nation's top climate scientists are giving an inconvenient truth, Al Gore's documentary on global warming, 5 stars for accuracy. One more time, Bob.
Hello, Cleveland! Hello, Cleveland!
Thank you. The former vice president's movie, replete with the prospect of a flooded New York City, an inundated Florida, more and nastier hurricanes, worsening droughts, retreating glaciers, and disappearing ice sheets, mostly got the science right, said all 19 climate scientists who had seen the movie or read the book and answered questions from the Associated Press. The AP contacted more than 100 top climate researchers by email and phone for their opinion. Among those contacted were the vocal skeptics of climate change theory. Most scientists had not seen the movie, which is in limited release, or read the book. Oh, it's again this thing. It's all wrong. It's all wrong. Have you seen it? No. So we need to throw it straight back at them. All right, we're just coming up on the old top of the hour. So we got the news, a couple of messages. We'll be back. You can get in on the program by dialing in to 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. I'll be checking my email during the break. That's John, J-O-N, at fourthestateradio.com. And we'll be back on the Head On Radio Network.
Trying. Don't think we move too soon. This is the Quality News Network. The Supreme Court ruled today that states can redraw congressional districts whenever they want. The court ruled that it was not unconstitutional for Texas to redraw its lines in 2003, which resulted in the gain of several seats for Republicans. However, the court also agreed that Hispanic voting rights were violated in one district. In Ramallah, Israelis arrested a member of the Hamas government today while thousands of troops and tanks poured into Gaza. The offensive is aimed at winning the release of an Israeli hostage. Because airstrikes have knocked out water and electricity, the Palestinians are warning of potential epidemics and health hazards. Also today, Israeli warplanes flew by the residence of Syria's president. An Israeli official says there is a direct link between that country and Hamas, and that Israeli forces hope to assassinate a hardline member of Hamas who's exiled there. In Iraq, nearly a dozen Sunni insurgent groups say they'll halt their attacks as long as U.S. forces leave within 2 years. But President Nouri al-Maliki says he doesn't know if Iraqi forces will be able to take over security by that time. In Washington, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan says the country is plagued by terrorism as well as drugs and corruption. In order to ensure the country's viability, he says the fight against these and other forces must continue. In Moscow tomorrow, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is expected to join international talks on Iran's nuclear program. She arrived there today from Afghanistan, where she said the U.S. will continue to support President Hamid Karzai. In Washington, the Bush administration has issued new guidelines to prevent the theft of personal information on employees and civilians. Federal civilian agencies now have 45 days to implement the new security measures. In Washington, lawmakers are revising the regulations that govern welfare-to-work programs. Under current guidelines, at least half of the welfare recipients must be in approved work activities in order for states to receive federal funding. Each state is now allowed to decide what constitutes a work activity, but the federal government will now have more say in that. Thousands of residents in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, and Maryland have been forced to evacuate as flooding continues. In the Northeast, up to 12 people have been killed. The governor of Nevada has also declared a state of emergency as crews continue fighting dozens of fires sparked by lightning. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Senate has approved the nomination of Goldman Sachs head Henry Paulson to become the next Treasury Secretary. Both parties endorsed his nomination. The Federal Reserve started the first of a two-day meeting today, which is expected to end with a 5.25% rate hike. It will be the 17th successive hike. A new survey finds that most retirees in the U.S. will not receive health benefits from their employers. 95% of the companies surveyed say they plan to reduce that coverage over the next 5 years. Daimler Chrysler says its smart car will be available in the U.S. starting in 2008. The two-seater will be aimed at trendy urban consumers on the East and West Coasts. Honda says it will build a new $500 million assembly plant in Indiana. It will employ 2,000 workers and produce 200,000 vehicles each year. Starting in the fall, Verizon says subscribers who cancel their service early will not have to pay such a hefty cancellation fee. The fees will be prorated so they match the time left on their contracts. FBI agents in the New York City area have broken up two international movie piracy rings. Bootlegging has reportedly cost the movie picture industry millions of dollars. Light sweet crude settled at $72.19 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 49 points at 10,974. NASDAQ up 12 at 2112. S&P 500 up 7 at 1246. You can hear more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Getting all foxed up. Call the show at 877-443-2366. 877, the number 4, head on. Brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Remember, they're building the American dream. And now, back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Up here on the Head On Radio Network. And this is John Fox in Sydney, and, well, I'm just kind of, you know, doing the normal spew thing and been kind of moaning and groaning about environmental stuff. And a little bit of Diamond Dave there, some old Van Halen, kind of soothe the soul on the way in. Kind of fun to see here. My good friend Wheeze at MachineGunKeyboard.com is enjoying the prospect of Rush Limbaugh having to do some jail time, because I guess there might be some more talk about the fact that, you know, part of the deal that he had made meant he should not be arrested for 18 months for any reason. So, I don't know. I don't know what's happening there, but anyway, sure making Wheeze laugh. I was checking my email during the break, and as usual, you can get in on the program, 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And my wonderful partner, Gail, who is busy at her regular office grind gig, sent me a great cover. And I just... trying to see where this came from. Anyway, it's the cover. I think it might be the real thing, but it's the cover of The Independent from the UK, saying, with a big, huge black sign and a big, you know, warning, exclamation mark, saying, warning, if you read this newspaper, you may be arrested under the government's anti-terror laws. It's happening everywhere. If you think you're a threat, if you consider you're a threat, you like facts, bloody hell, you're a threat. Thanks, Gail, for that. I love that. And I'll see about posting that up on the blog after. I'm not sure where she got that. Let's see, what else do we have here? That's right. One moment, must get book. I have book. I was speaking earlier about this really, really neat book that we have here at home, this Homework, Hand-Built Shelter by Lloyd Kahn. And it gets into just environmentally friendly building practices and different styles and things that work in different environments and whatnot. But, you know, when you hear people who want to dismiss all the real science, all the good science, and I'm not saying that it's good because they agree with me or I agree with them. I'm saying it's good is because it's been arrived at through solid scientific laboratory tests which they can repeat, and by trials, and not by an ideology that is set up to deceive or to distort and to arrive at an already predetermined opinion. That ain't science. But there's really wonderful pictures in this book, and one of the examples that they give here is they say here, in 1971, Johnny and Carol Kimmins and their family moved to a 300-acre piece of forest land in Sequatchie Valley in Tennessee. Over the past 30 years, they have built a number of structures and have been living a sustainable lifestyle deeply integrated in a forest ecosystem. In 1996, the family homestead became a learning center and a model for sustainable living and is known as the Sequatchie Valley Institute, and you can find that at svionline.org. And I do believe at that website they have some, I mean, amazing pictures. A hand-built clay stove and oven, and it's a mass thermal heater. One of the things that we've looked into, and we've had long discussions with, we have a friend of ours that works for one of the two major power companies in New South Wales here. And Integral Energy, to their credit, is a full union shop. Yay, yay, yay! Thank you. And they make very clear that they have no intention of ever changing that. And we have a really good this mate of ours. We've gotten into discussions where he says, "But I'm sorry," he says, "I don't see how you can have a reliable grid system utilizing these green techniques." And so we were getting into, you know, whether you go nuke or not for power. And, you know, I mean, this guy builds, you know, the relay transformers that, you know, distribute to the entirety of Sydney. I mean, you know, I've seen some of the projects that he's worked on, you know, and it's basically, you know, substations. So, and he and I would get into it only because he's a very green-minded guy, but he was looking at what he tries to maintain all the time, and he was just saying he just didn't see how it was possible. But he also said he wanted to find a way to do it. So we got talking, and I said, well, he talked about the fact that you couldn't possibly, like, the idea, you know, here, you know, people make the statement of a place like Australia. Why isn't, like, all of the outback just loaded with solar panels and, you know, Bob's your uncle, we're rocking? Well, it's not really quite that easy because, you know, Christopher, you know, was able to tell me, says, you then have, and my electronics is deep enough to understand this, that you have losses and drops over distance when you're transmitting electricity. And, I mean, this is, we have to seriously talk about how we're going to do this, you know, and we're not going to be able to flip a switch tomorrow. Maybe if we had started listening, you know, in the early 70s, we could have been there by now. We wouldn't be in as bad of a mess as we are. However, now, I don't know who might be on the line, who might be, you know, involved in the power industry, or, you know, I know we have a variety of different scientific type people, but here's what I threw at this friend of mine, and it seemed to him to suddenly make sense, and it was kind of like there was like one little stumbling block, and it suddenly opened up, and I said, the whole idea of having a centralized source that then feeds out to the rest of the community, we need to make electrical power more localized in its generation. And he says, well, you run into dependability issues. And I said, yeah, sure. I completely understand that. But you really would have those reliability issues if you were trying to have one massive distribution system do something like, say, the whole of Sydney. Just be ridiculous. But I said, okay, we kind of went down the old, you know, having a coffee, having a bit of a, you know, having a bit of a smoke, and just kind of talking it out. So I said, all right, we get a piece of land, a large enough piece of land, say, that we could build enough greenhouses to, say, house six of our friends families, units, whatever they might be. Now, it's already very possible for less, I do believe now, for less than $10,000 American, you can buy a prefabricated solar panel and storage system that is enough to run lighting, computers, stereo, and television 24/7 for a one-bedroom home. Okay, think about that. One self-standing set of panels. Comes with the battery system, the whole thing. Now, you have to think a little bit differently because you have a limited amount of stored power for the dark hours. But I have seen these units and people happily throughout the night run their computer, their internet, and their home theater system. And that's just with one. So I said, okay, each home has its own system with its own storage. But no matter what storage system you set up, there's always going to be some bleed off in that trickling of the storage system. So then I suggested, what if you made just one block of houses their own grid? He says, okay. He says, we end up with a week of monsoon rains. And I said, okay, we already said in this community we're going to have biodiesel vehicles, so we have a biodiesel backup generator. So if just in one development, and it was as though a light went off for Christopher, and he just looked at me and he says, okay, you've just removed the whole loss issue. And I said, yeah, you localize it. We'll come back to this in a bit, because I really think that a lot of this isn't that difficult if we change what we're doing now. So we're going to take a little bit of a break. We're going to come back. If you want to get in on the conversation, if you yourself have done something, if you're generating your own power, anything, I'd love to hear from you. Because it is one of these things. It's a huge problem, but it's only going to get fixed until each and every one of us makes some fundamental changes in the way that we conduct our lives. Doesn't mean that it has to change the quality of it. Anyway, this is John Fox on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, and we will be right back.
Last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
What's it like?
What's it like?
It's lonely.
It's really lonely.
I miss my brother.
I miss my brother.
I'm surrounded by other people, but it's not the same.
I've got other people around me, but it's not the same.
It's pretty scary, but I don't let it rattle me.
It's pretty scary around here, but I don't let it rattle me.
You always have to watch your back.
There's no one to watch my back.
I spend my whole day worried who's out to get me.
I'm always wondering who's out to get me.
But I can take care of myself.
But I can take care of myself.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
No matter what, I'll keep my head up.
It's not like I have a choice.
It's not like I have a choice.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
This'll all be over in 5 years, 3 months, and 17 days.
Go to jail for a gun crime and your family serves a sentence with you. Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool block skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Hey, I'm Bonnie Raitt. Remember how excited you were as a kid to go back to school at the end of the summer? Seeing old friends, making new ones, getting new books in a new locker, a clean slate. And music class, that special room where you went to sing and perform with your friends and learn all sorts of interesting stuff about great composers and instruments and different kinds of music. We remember our music teachers because they were so passionate about helping us learn to love music. They helped spark a love for listening to notes and voices and rhythms that continues to enrich our lives even today. Know what? I bet your kids feel the same way about music class. Ask them and make sure they get involved with music in school this year.
A PSA brought to you by MENC, the National Association for Music Education, and the National Anthem Project, the campaign to restore America's voice through music education. Music, part of a sound education.
It's just, you know, my first incarnation of life, I was a rock and roll drummer, and that's just one of those songs that just wants makes me want to play again. Such a great little rhythm, that tune. Anyway, welcome back to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, folks. We have a caller. Lilo from Pittsburgh is on line one. Welcome, Lilo, to Foxed Up.
Well, good evening, or in your case, it is good day. John.
Yes, it is. It's one. It's just a little early afternoon here.
Early afternoon. Well, John, I always wanted to come to Australia ever since I was 8 years old, and my father gave me a book about Australia. But I guess calling there is the next best thing. I wanted to chime in a little bit on the environmental issues you have been talking about. And what I especially liked about your show was that you did not just talk about how bad it is, but that you're trying to find ways on how to improve our lifestyle so that we are more in tune with the environment.
Well, you know, it's one of these things, and I kind of am thankful that a lot of my life has been somewhat of a technical life. And one, you know, you can kind of somewhat bounce from one thing to another a little bit once you have spent time in, I guess, troubleshooting, mm-hmm. which I've done a lot of in my life. And so you get a few people like that together, and I think we can come up with the solutions, and we don't actually have to depend on massive corporations to come up with those solutions for us.
Correct. It's probably it is a movement, or it has to be developed at the grassroots level, on the individual level. I'm pretty sure. I wish I were as technically savvy as you are, so I don't have anything to contribute along those lines. But I did want to recommend a book to you with the title,
please,
Winds of Change, and the subtitle is Climate, Weather, and Destruction of Civilization by Eugene Linden. Now, I read it about 3 or 4 months ago or so, shortly after it came out, and it was a little over my head, I must say. It's really written by a climatologist. But
right.
Very interesting, talking about the damage we are doing to the environment, but also it's talking about the history of climate change as far as we can technically follow it or scientifically interpret it. And so that was one of my contributions I had in mind. And the other one is I was in a chat room not too long ago, and somebody Googled homemade solar panels. And I can't quite remember how many hits came up, but there were quite a few. And as I was just clicking through, I'm intending to research this a little later, as I was clicking through, there were some really interesting things that I think even I may be able to come up with and do.
Well, yeah, well, yeah, that's fascinating. I'm gonna do that Google search. And one of the things that and I think this is actually an Australian invention, and there's another program on the wondrous ABC called The New Inventors, and the guy's working on production money for solar roof tiles.
Uh-huh.
Because almost all the roofs in Australia are ceramic tile roofs.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so they're building just, you stack them the exact same way, very, very clever, and they interconnect their electrical connections and then come to, like, basically what is a main bus at the edge of the house.
Yes, I believe when I was researching that a little bit, there is... I was on a German website, but the language was English. But I believe it's a company out of Germany that makes some wonderful roof tiles. They look just like regular roof tiles, and
right.
You can cover the whole roof and really produce some power.
Well, and see, this is the thing, and I don't know if you've read Hartman's book, Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that, and I really enjoy that I really like about this book, and I've read it twice so far, is the fact that it's not as you described this other book, Winds of Change. It's not quite as heady. It's very heavy.
Mm-hmm.
That first third is hard to read. But I think I finally got a grasp on the entire thing in a way that I hadn't before, with the way he equates it all to stored sunlight.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, human energy, everything, and the fact that we're supporting this population on all the back end storage sunlight, as opposed to the recent sunlight, which would be the trees.
Mm-hmm.
And things. and we have less of them, and so you know, again, we're starving the system as we're pulling from it far too hard.
Correct. We continue using non-renewable resources, and even if we are contemplating renewable resources, we are then thinking about using them in a non-renewable way.
And it really has to be holistic, don't you think?
Oh, yes, yes. Of course. That is one thing that really annoys me during discussions. During our recent in our recent oil crisis here, people are discussing alternate fuels and really get quite into that discussion. And I always say, how about discussing using less energy?
Oh, yeah, there was another one of the stories that I have from this week, and I think we're going to have to, we're running up into a break here, but that it's now saying that, you know, I thought it was, you know, somewhere around a third of the greenhouse gas emissions were from the U.S. It's now at 50% of the world's greenhouse gas emissions are coming, and it's because of the loosened restrictions on automobiles that the Bushies slid through and labeled it environmental policy.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, before you leave, I do like it when you talk about Australia. I don't know whether other listeners do that too, but a comparison between the U.S. and other countries, it's, you know, how is the political situation there? How does climate change affect Australia? You mentioned a little bit. I do enjoy those parts, so I thank you for giving me an education.
My pleasure, and I'll tell you what, if I ever had any doubts that there was a hole in the ozone layer, I lost all those doubts the moment that I moved here.
Oh.
Because the sun feels different here.
Yeah. So, I don't speak for all listeners, but this listener here would enjoy that. And I must say, you do talk funny.
Well, I was born in New Jersey.
Oh.
Right? I was born in Jersey. I lived in Texas for a while. I lived in Northern California for a while. Then I ended up in Northern Germany for a while, and now I've been here for 8 years. So, yes, my accent is a mutt, and there was a singer that I did sound for here, an Australian singer by the name of Denny Hines, and she used to get really, really angry at me because I seemed to change accents in the middle of a sentence, and it used to drive her crazy.
Oh, I envy that. I only have one. Mine is a German accent. That is why I always notice people have one.
My ex is German, and yours is not strong, believe me.
Oh. Well, thank you.
I've been through a few strong ones, trust me. I remember having to also try, and while I was struggling through German, what is it, Plattdeutsch?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
The Swiss one, and you'd hear this thing come across and be going, what?
Oh.
And because my ex's family had a lot of people from that. Is it a Swiss thing? Is that what I'm remembering right?
It's, if you lived in northern Germany, no, it's, but those dialects are also totally different languages. There's somewhat a mixture between German, Dutch, English, and very, very difficult to understand. Switzerland, you are right. Switzerland has that is a totally different language if they really speak it.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for your call, and I thank you for your support of the idea of green issues on Conversation Radio, because I really think we need to have this conversation.
Yes, we do. Okay, talking to you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lilo. And we are a little bit late for our bottom-of-the-hour break, I do believe, so we're going to go and hit that, and we'll come back. I've got some other stuff backing up some of this stuff, because, well, don't believe me. Go to the research. You're listening to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Yeah. This is Bruce Birch, and I'd like to invite you to join me for a brand new show here on the Horn, the Bruce Birch Radio Program. Tune in Monday through Friday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Cancer. It's the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50, but it doesn't have to be. Screening for colorectal cancer saves lives. Both Doug and Susan were screened. In Doug's case, screening found precancerous polyps. He had no symptoms, so he had no idea there was anything wrong. Doug's doctor was able to remove the polyps before they turned into cancer. Think their granddaughter will become star of her college swim team? Now, chances are better than ever that Doug and Susan will be around to find out. Screening saves lives. If you're over 50, speak with your doctor and get screened for colorectal cancer.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. 4484.
The first chick in a rock band that wasn't the chick in the rock band. She was just part of the band. Ah, oh, one of my all-time favorite records. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. Who's at the helm at the moment? Is it Bob or Agnes? okay, right, from that line, that was obviously Bob. Well, I won't repeat what just went through our little production chat. But yes, Chrissy Hynde is legendary. And if you've never heard it, everyone must go to their local record shop, if you still have a local record shop, and go find, I believe the title of it is The Return of the Grievous Angel. And it's a tribute CD to Gram Parsons. And it's produced by Emmylou Harris. It came out, it was probably about 5 years ago. And it's got just a variety of different people who were influenced by this guy and the Burrito Brothers. And the opening track is Emmylou Harris, Chrissy Hynde, and the Pretenders doing She. And if you want to get musical goosebumps, bingo, pay dirt. all I can tell you. Go buy the album. You just Return of the Grievous Angel. It's just gorgeous. And you got some all kinds of other people, and Emmy Lou's on almost every track. And when she sings, she even breathes in the same places. She's been carrying the torch ever since he died. Anyway, we've been talking about the environment. If you want to get in on the conversation, ring 1-877-443-2366. That's 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. And I'm thinking that I probably got this one from Gene. Just talking about alternative sources of energy. Now, this sounds a little bit, might sound a little bit out there, but things that are common knowledge, you know, the telephone was, you know, thought by some to be the work of the devil. But I was sent a link to treehugger.com. And just like liberal, I want to make treehugger not be a dirty word anymore. As a story, this cracked me up, but I think it's a great idea. Crowd power, the latest in renewable energy. Vibrations from passing trucks, the rumbling of speedy trains, and even the footfall of busy city commuters could be captured and converted into energy to light walkways and buildings. Engineers, blah, 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 blah. A London-based architectural firm is working on a project that aims to harness the pulse of a city and use it as a renewable energy source. Interesting concept. Facility Architects Director Claire Price says tens of thousands of people can pass through urban hubs like train stations during rush hour. You don't need to be a math genius to realize that if you can harness that energy, you can actually create a very useful power source that is currently being wasted. Price's team has financial and technical support from several organizations for proposal. My first reaction when I saw it was, wow, this is fantastic, says Tony Bates, business development manager at Scott Wilson, blah, 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 blah. As an engineer, of course, you can really see that bits of that this can really work. Bates and Price are now in the process of developing a joint partnership to make the idea a reality. The architectural team is working with university research groups to finish two vibration harvesting prototypes by December. The piezoelectric technology, and it's the same thing that any of you that have an acoustic guitar with a pickup in it, same technology, motion into a current. It's very simple, actually. Basically, what they're talking about is making sidewalks out of a huge piezo strip crystal. Cheap technology, too. The first is a staircase that will contain hydraulic or piezoelectric technology in the risers. The technology will pick up kinetic energy from commuter footfalls and convert it to an electrical current. So the same technology that allows me to record my acoustic guitar without a microphone could generate maybe possibly the lights in the city streets when the people are walking on them. This is the kind of thinking that we need to be getting into. We got to get creative about this. You know, so much of it comes around waste. You know, all right, here's a concept. I just thought of this. This could fall apart by the time I get done with it, but here's a thought. Right now we have lots of large corporations doing silly things like buying, you know, Florida naval oranges and importing them to Australia when we have perfectly beautiful Tasmanian oranges. Picking it early to fly it over is not going to be as nice as getting something delivered from up the road. Sorry, it's simple mathematics. So, okay, as part of the fight for global climate change, or to stop the cycle, how about we mandate that, you know, you got to get your food, if available locally. None of this just because it's cheaper, burning extra transport fuels. I mean, ring me up and tell me if this ain't crazy. Just ship the stuff around less. you know? I reckon that there's plenty of Australians that would love a job making USB cables to sell in Australia than importing them from China, where someone there is being paid less money so that they can burn more fuels to bring that same thing over here and make money and create nothing but waste. You know, I have no problem with capitalism at all. But even our founding fathers made noises about the fact that international trade is good, but you shouldn't trade amongst each other things that you both make. And this would suddenly, probably, start to correct some of the labor problems we have. Not all of them, but some of them. Like, I don't think that this is a hard stretch, and this isn't control to say business can't make money. But business should not be able to make money at the expense of the rest of the planet. And actually, Gene, who supplies me with supplies many of the Head On Radio Network programs with much content, you can actually get to his blog at, you know, the HTTP thing, frozynflaynf.blogspot.com. One more time, that's frozynflaynf.blogspot.com. And I bet he's just got probably everything he sends me, and Bruce, and Bob. And, I mean, these are great, you know. I mean, I go hunting for stuff all the time, and I've never come across this thing about the idea of spinning staircase energy and transferring kinetic energy into an electrical charge. It's very simple technology. This is how... You know, if you have, an iPod that records, or like an old dictaphone cassette machine, you know, the little microphone in there? It's a piezo. That's all that is. So they're just talking about making, like, really, really big ones, or a whole bunch of little ones, all connected together to translate some of that energy. So then... You know, while you're breaking your knees to go up that staircase, at least it's not just all going into your knees. It's actually going to keep the lights on. Sounds like a cool idea to me. And, you know, I don't claim to be anybody, you know, majorly spectacular. I just want to find a way to keep the thing going without burning it up. And, you know, I do believe we're going to be coming up on another break pretty soon. And, you know, if you got anything to throw in, please ring in at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Jump into the chat room at headonradionetwork.com. And you can email me at John, J-O-N, at fourthestateradio.com. And, you know... Is there, you know, in your community, have you gotten, a community organic gardening cooperative going? I mean, these are the kind of things that we need to really, really make happen. You know, I was woohooing about being able to get organic, unhomogenized milk. So very, very cool. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. You listen to Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network, and we'll be right back.
On the last Fourth Estate, we heard from Robert Fisk.
What has now become a habit of compromising on the semantics of reporting in order to avoid criticism. You know, if you call a Jewish settlement or neighborhood a colony, you'll be criticized and called potentially anti-Semitic.
And a little bit of activist history and the Red Scare.
On the line with us right now, we have Kate Fossil, biographer of Ann Braden.
You know, I got interested in Ann's life because of her being a white Southern voice against racism. And
leave it to our listeners to ring up and keep it light.
I don't either. And, you know, Bruce is concerned about the remote control for his DVD player. I mean, I'm thinking about getting rid of the remote control on my blow-up doll. I mean, you know.
What's his name?
I never kiss a tell.
FourthEstateRadio.com.
I can take care of myself. I can make a peanut butter sandwich. I can brush my teeth and I can give myself a bath. I can walk home alone from school. I can pick dinner from the trash behind the deli. I can watch the baby for the whole weekend. I can keep a baseball bat by my bed just in case there's trouble. Don't worry about me. I can take care of myself.
If you're in jail, who'll be there to take care of your family? Something to think about before committing a gun crime. Gun crimes hit home. This message brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
The major record labels say that downloading their music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show. When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. When an MC rhymes over a sampled beat, that's stealing. Have you ever sung Happy Birthday to your friend at a restaurant? Watch out, Happy Birthday is copyrighted. So if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'd be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money. Don't pay for major label music, and make sure your friends and family don't either. Even better, burn the CDs of the music they like, so they won't even want to buy it. If we pull the plug on the major labels, music gets better. To find out more about what you can do, check out downhillbattle.org.
Oh my. Ah. Bobby just nailing them one after the other. Loving it, loving it, loving it. Bit of Zeppelin. Always good for the soul. Yes, you made amends, Bob. Okay. I need book again. Okay. I'm talking about creative thinking and creative ideas, and this will be a little bit of a short one before we hit the news, but Cobb construction is a really kind of a neat thing. Kind of like basically adobe, right? You know, it's a bit of mud, bit of straw, and then there's, you finish it and you render it and it comes up beautiful. When you know, it's even simple. It's amazing. But, you know, the idea of not wasting the energy that you are either burning or even creating. There's this really, really cool kind of design. Now, you picture, you know, you're building a Cobb house, you know, it's just kind of like this very loose kind of like chicken wire framing. And then you just start packing it. Really, really great insulation, both hot and cold. But in this wonderful book here. They show someone who's built this, I'm looking for it here, like a they made out of cob, built into the wall. So you can, like, even build the furniture into the wall. You know, you can actually, as you're building the wall, build a sofa base out of it. And they show this thing where it's this beautiful kind of, like, ceramic-looking adobe wrap-around sofa thing. Cushions on it. But then you realize at the end, there's this very, very tricky kind of stove. And the chimney goes up, and it also goes straight through that seat and warms the seat and the floor from right underneath. And with a very, very special chimney that one can build with just a couple people in their bare hands. You don't need any more than this, than your bare hands. Without actually burning any actual wood, just leaf, this thing can run and heat an entire small house just off of dry grass. Don't even have to chop down the trees. I know this all sounds very, very hippie-ish. And I guess it is. And if that's what it is, bloody hell, I'm hippie. But there are ways to have comfort without sacrificing everything else. Just really, really, I don't think it's that hard, and I don't think it should be so hard for us. And I think where the argument goes wrong is the hugeness of it makes it so difficult to even look at. You just can't even go there. It's in that too hard pile. But, you know, it really isn't in the too hard pile for a difference to be made. But we got to start making that change now. Might have to move on from this in the next hour because I'll just start getting angry. Because I've just sat here as I've been doing the show. I've just watched like a half a dozen different SUVs pull by with one person in them. Probably, you know, I've just seen two huge Range Rovers go by in the middle of a Sydney suburb, and it doesn't look like they've ever, ever, ever been off the pavement. These are the things we need to change. But that's bringing us to the end of this, the second hour of Foxed Up here on a Wednesday night. Yeah, Bruce, I'll get angry in the next hour. Ah! Anyway, you're listening to Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network. My name's John Fox in Sydney, Australia. We'll be back after the news.
This is the Quality News Network. The Supreme Court ruled today that states can redraw congressional districts whenever they want. The court ruled that it was not unconstitutional for Texas to redraw its lines in 2003, which resulted in the gain of several seats for Republicans. However, the court also agreed that Hispanic voting rights were violated in one district. In Ramallah, Israelis arrested a member of the Hamas government today while thousands of troops and tanks poured into Gaza. The offensive is aimed at winning the release of an Israeli hostage. Because airstrikes have knocked out water and electricity, the Palestinians are warning of potential epidemics and health hazards. Also today, Israeli warplanes flew by the residence of Syria's president. An Israeli official says there is a direct link between that country and Hamas, and that Israeli forces hope to assassinate a hardline member of Hamas who's exiled there. In Iraq, nearly a dozen Sunni insurgent groups say they'll halt their attacks as long as U.S. forces leave within 2 years. But President Nouri al-Maliki says he doesn't know if Iraqi forces will be able to take over security by that time. In Washington, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan says the country is plagued by terrorism as well as drugs and corruption. In order to ensure the country's viability, he says the fight against these and other forces must continue. In Moscow tomorrow, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice is expected to join international talks on Iran's nuclear program. She arrived there today from Afghanistan, where she said the U.S. will continue to support President Hamid Karzai. In Washington, the Bush administration has issued new guidelines to prevent the theft of personal information on employees and civilians. Federal civilian agencies now have 45 days to implement the new security measures. In Washington, lawmakers are revising the regulations that govern welfare-to-work programs. Under current guidelines, at least half of the welfare recipients must be in approved work activities in order for states to receive federal funding. Each state is now allowed to decide what constitutes a work activity, but the federal government will now have more say in that. Thousands of residents in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, and Maryland have been forced to evacuate as flooding continues. In the Northeast, up to 12 people have been killed. The governor of Nevada has also declared a state of emergency as crews continue fighting dozens of fires sparked by lightning. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The Senate has approved the nomination of Goldman Sachs head Henry Paulson to become the next Treasury Secretary. Both parties endorsed his nomination. The Federal Reserve started the first of a two-day meeting today, which is expected to end with a 5.25% rate hike. It will be the 17th successive hike. A new survey finds that most retirees in the U.S. will not receive health benefits from their employers. 95% of the companies surveyed say they plan to reduce that coverage over the next 5 years. Daimler Chrysler says its smart car will be available in the U.S. starting in 2008. The two-seater will be aimed at trendy urban consumers on the East and West Coast. Honda says it will build a new $500 million assembly plant in Indiana. It will employ 2,000 workers and produce 200,000 vehicles each year. Starting in the fall, Verizon says subscribers who cancel their service early will not have to pay such a hefty cancellation fee. The fees will be prorated so they match the time left on their contracts. FBI agents in the New York City area have broken up two international movie piracy rings. Bootlegging has reportedly cost the movie picture industry millions of dollars. Light sweet crude settled at $72.19 a barrel today. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow was up 49 points at 10,974. NASDAQ up 12 at 2112. S&P 500 up 7 at 1246. You can hear more at qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Kimberly White. It's 5 minutes past the hour.
Does this mean the popularity of the group is waning?
Oh, no, not at all. I just think that their appeal is becoming more selective.
It's your third hour of All Foxed Up with John Fox. You can reach the show at 877-443-2366. Let's get back to John on the Head On Radio Network.
Back? What do you mean I ain't coming back? Anyway, that's the Screaming Jets, Australia's greatest hard rock and roll band. And I do love that opening line. It's a track called Reputation off of their an EP that they put out about 2 years ago. And I think it's he used to take one, but now he needs more medication for his adult ADD. I think it's an interesting statement about modern life in the suburbs. I don't know. Anyway, I have a feeling that we're going to get a little ringing from my partner in crime from Saturday nights on 4th Estate Radio, Mr. Bruce Birch, who also has his groovy daily show that's really gotten just absolutely rocking into fifth gear quickly. You know, just guest after guest after guest after guest. Yeah, Bob's saying the Jets have a talent for great first lines and songs. Yeah, Dave's a master. Dave's a master. He's got a similar touch of like Springsteen when it comes to being able to just like really paint like a good little picture in a couple of lines. Just like Heart of the Matter, which is our hour two intro for 4th Estate Radio, is just another just miss good rock and roll. I just miss good music, but that's a rant for another night. We're doing green stuff today. And we're probably going to do a lot of this on this show, I have a feeling. Just because, I mean, anyone out there who's followed along with our blog, 12thharmonic.net, and its previous URL.com, you know, it says right up at the top, news and politics from a left-green perspective, and that's it. And you know, we've been following and archiving stuff for a couple of years there, just on the insanity of the, you know, I really feel that always the people in power have, you know, the three monkeys, you know, fingers in their ears, you know, eyes, the whole thing, you know. They don't hear it, they don't see it, they don't want to know about it. They want to continue, you know. They talk about moral responsibility. You know, I mean, if I were a Christian preacher, man, I'd be sitting there talking about being, you know, caretakers of the earth, eh? You know, like I said before, I woke up to the hole in the ozone layer when I first landed here in Australia. You know, it's only actually just south of here. If you're in Adelaide, you are actually directly underneath the edge of the hole. And I'm telling you, for the first couple of weeks that I was here, the sun had just this little bit of a pins and needles sting to it, which I'd never experienced before. And I lived a little while in Tucson, Arizona, where, you know, at 2 in the afternoon, driving in the car with your arms sticking out the window, you hit 30 miles an hour, your skin's burning. But this is different. This isn't just sheer temperature. There's stuff getting through and you can feel it. But see, I've become accustomed to it. I don't notice it anymore. You know, if I work a really big gig outside in the summer, yeah, I'll be feeling it towards the end of the night. And here's an interesting little factoid. We have here in Australia a massive skin cancer problem. It's massive. But when you break it down, the demographics that get hit with it, you know, it's not just your, you know, Europe, you know, white European folks overall. What's interesting is It comes down to the exposure in the first, I think it's 5 years of life. And they're finding, like, you know, they'd follow families and children who were born, say, in the Northern Hemisphere and spent the first 5 hours of their lives not being roasted by the sun down here, had dramatically lower rates within the same families. And that, you know, when we get older, you know, we wake up, we wise up, we start putting, you know, Australia has a great campaign called Slip, Slop, Slap, and it's and every Australian knows it, and it's, you know, slip on a hat, slap on, you know, what is it, slap on a long sleeve shirt and slop on whatever, you know, some, you know, UV bloody 30 SPF keep you from frying in a half an hour sunscreen. Because it is a real issue. I mean, the very room that I'm standing in doing this program in my house, a very good friend of mine died of a melanoma. He used to live in this room. And this guy was a guitar tech for some of Australia's greatest bands. He spent most of his entirety of his adult life indoors, in the dark, up at night. And this guy ends up with a skin cancer melanoma the size of a kidney on his back. Took him out in 2 years. The damage is real. And this is one of those things that, you know, I kind of wish I could bring everybody over here, you know, and just have them spend a day in a good Australian summer day down here, you know, especially take them down to South Australia. You know, if you doubt for a second that hole is, you know, not allowing certain things to leak through that have an effect on the human body, you come and stand here for a couple of days and you tell me otherwise. And I'm not the only one that's noticed this. My partner has noticed it. I've talked to other people, you know, people who grew up in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, come and go, yeah, it's different. You know, even the guy who directed the new Superman movie said he picked Australia because of its light. I'm telling you, it's bright here. Okay. I've just been told... I guess this is something you'd like to see there, Bob. Rush Limbaugh basted in butter and standing naked in the South Australian sun. I'll float that out there. But, you know, I mean... I have this great view with reflectors. you know, I have this great view from this window up here on the second floor of this house where I can see, you know, the Sydney Harbour Bridge and the Centrepoint Tower and all that of downtown Sydney, you know, our icons. And I've actually watched the similar yellowish-brown dome that I used to associate with Los Angeles just become more and more pea soup-like. You know, I mean, we really, really, really got to do something. We have down here a massive child asthma problem. Why? What's changed? Why in two generations has it, you know, doubled, tripled? You know? What could possibly be causing all these respiratory problems? I don't think that it's just something that happens. I think it has to do with early exposure of, you know, worse and worse. Ooh, okay. Well, we'll hold off on the break then there, Bob. Oh, okay. You want to take the break first? Okay. We're going to take a really quick break, folks, because we have our good friend Ben out of Chicago on the line with an update from the Gaza Strip. And I wasn't going to go there because I'll get angry. But Ben says it's important. So we'll be right back here on Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network with our buddy Ben.
I was driving home early Sunday morning through Bakersfield, listening to gospel music on the public radio station. And the preacher said, you know, you always have the Lord by your side. And I was so pleased to be informed of this that I ran 20 red lights in his honor. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at cupojoe.blogspot.com. That's cupojoe.blogspot.com. Now get back to work.
Dog attacks and dog bites come in all sizes. Think your dog doesn't bite? Don't be so sure. Dog attacks are one of the nation's most commonly reported public health problems. Francia Smith, consumer advocate for the U.S. Postal Service.
Any dog can bite for the first time, even with the owner there. So whether you are a dog owner or not, please take the time to learn about dog safety.
Visit USPS.com and search the words dog bite. This message is brought to you by this station and the U.S. Postal Service.
Mom?
Dad?
How long should I wait for you?
Mom?
If I'm at soccer practice,
what if something happens? Will you come get me?
There's no reason not to have a plan in case of an emergency.
Mom, if you're not home, should we go to the neighbor's house?
And some extremely good reasons why you should.
Can you tell me?
Everybody should have a plan. Take 5 minutes to talk about where you'll meet and how you'll get in touch with each other in an emergency. For other things you can do to be prepared, visit www.ready.gov. A public service announcement.
Part of the Horn family, the one, the only Ben on the line with something about the Gaza Strip. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Hey there. This is really bad news.
Okay, tell me.
According to a Reuters story filed at 9:39 Eastern Time, which is now 2 hours ago, the Al-Aqsa Brigades have fired one rocket with a chemical warhead at southern Israel, according to Abu Qasai, a spokesperson for the group. If indeed this is true and not a brag, if they have fired a chemical warhead into Israel, I can't imagine that the IDF will show even their low standard of restraint that we have come to expect from them.
Oh, my God, Ben.
this is the end of the Palestinian authority, even if it's not true, because, you know, you say gas to somebody in Israel, and they react very viscerally.
Oh, yeah. It'll only be ugly, like you said, even if it's not really true. This is going to create a very, very bad reaction from Israel, and they were already kind of starting to step in anyway over the last couple of days. It's been
there's strategic shelling going on. They are firing two kinds of munitions. They're firing timed munitions with submunitions. In other words, you know, like cluster bombs. I saw a picture of of an M190 howitzer, and stacked next to it were several different types of munitions. One was the type of munitions that explodes in the air and puts out around 100 submunitions. For basically that's for either area denial if the submunitions aren't set to go off immediately, or for removing personnel from an area if they are. And the other sort was contact-fused high explosive, which is for more hard targets. And it's pretty clear that if they're doing both of those things, especially the submunitions, they are doing strategic shelling and preparing for an advance. That is also the conclusion I draw from them having targeted bridges and splitting the Palestinian Gaza area into several pieces. Because if you can prevent your enemy from marshaling troops to the point that you breach his defense, you have a much easier time of mopping him up. It's the divide and conquer strategy. And if, in fact, they have used a chemical weapon, the gates of hell have just opened.
Oh, my God. Okay. I'm going to get a hold of Anthony Lowenstein after the show today and find out what he might be able to find out, because this is his subject. Damn it. And that's all. Now, over the past couple of days, we've been having the Israelis supposedly trying to go and rescue one of their own, if I've been following correctly.
That is the reason for some of this. There are other things going on. The Palestinians tunneled under the fence and attacked a border outpost. The Palestinians have been behaving in a very provocative manner since Hamas won the government, and also
since Hamas had basically been thumbed by the United States and everybody else, saying that even though they were voted in, they weren't legitimate. So I do think that some of that provocative nature was, in a way, instigated, in my humble opinion.
Oh, well, absolutely. There is shame to go all around, okay? But, you know,
We didn't need this.
It's not smart to tweak the giant's nose.
Yeah.
It's really not smart to tweak the giant's nose. You're not going to get the giant, even if the giant is a bastard, to cooperate with you if you tweak his nose.
You're more likely going to end up having the wrath of the bastard, and more likely than not.
And that's what we've been seeing for the last several days. If they're doing serious shelling like this, it's unlikely they expect to actually recover more than the body of the soldier that's being held captive. Okay.
Oh, my God.
The shell does not know what it's hitting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this cannot pan out well. I don't, you know, Good question, Bob. Do the Israelis have the stomach for genocide? And, you know, I have to ask the same question, you know?
I ask that question, too. I can't see how the present impasse can end without genocide of one side or the other, because they seem to be absolutely implacable enemies. And the question becomes, if you expect that one side would happily do it to you, are you justified in doing it to them? You know, it's not a question I can answer.
Weren't we, like, in a whole different ball game just something like 8 years ago?
We were moving towards a peace process. We had a Palestinian Authority that had been granted semi-autonomy. We had routinely people passing between the two severed parts of the Palestinian Authority, unmolested by the Israelis for the most part. We had a decrease in the terrorism and bombings. We had the PLO faction of the Palestinians who were in control. And despite the fact that, you know, nobody in Israel liked Yasser Arafat or his proxy, who was, you know, the president of the Palestinian Authority then, he was attempting to keep the militant factions in line. You know, he was arresting them when he could get them. But every time we have moved towards a possibility of peace, one side or the other breaches it. Either we've got, a situation where somebody fires a rocket, you know, into Israel, you know, and even if it just explodes in a pasture, that's a provocation. Or alternatively, you know, some settler decides he's going to open his AK-47 up on the Palestinians he sees near his house.
Right.
You know, and both those things have just kept, you know, the militants on both sides have just kept this thing boiling when it really could have been dealt with. And the United States has shown no leadership.
No, we haven't shown any leadership since, you know, the Clinton, you know, mob was in.
That's right.
You know, they were really trying to facilitate things, and just even the appearance of giving the Palestinians legitimacy to then move on to the talks was key to bringing the thing back from simmering point. You know, Gail, my partner was actually living in Palestine when the first Intifada broke out. She was a traveler,
yeah.
And, you know, she said she was having a great time, then all of a sudden you could just, like, the locals all kind of started to, you know, it all of a sudden felt different, and she realized it was time to get out, and, like, 2 days later, it all came back.
Yep.
But, you know, like, now, Bob throws an interesting comment in here, and I was kind of along the same lines myself, because I am forever skeptic. Especially when the story of who takes responsibility comes out really quickly. With an all-out attack on the Palestinians, it would probably mean all bets are off in the Muslim world. Now, could this be a tactic to draw Iran out?
I don't know. It seems to me that if Reuters is talking to a known, a known spokesman of the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigades.
Right.
That it's not a Joe job of any sort. It's nobody trying to front for them and create an incident out of nothing. You know, it's not a main provocation. Okay.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're hoping that by pushing Israel into some paroxysm of violence, they can draw in Syria, who is extremely well armed, has you know, perhaps 30% of the capability Israel itself has, or if they expect that somehow this will cause the United States to, you know, throw its weight around and get everything to stop. I don't know. But I
know
that it's going to provoke the IDF into basically a complete sweep of one end of Gaza to the other. And if they can't disarm the militants peacefully, they're going to make sure that there's no resistance left.
Well, and okay, and on top of that, what do you make of the fact that Israel said its warplanes buzzed the summer residence of President Bashar Assad Wednesday?
It was a warning. That was a warning. Don't get involved.
I cannot.
That was, you know, that's as clear as can be to me. That's how you send a message. We not only have the capability of penetrating your airspace, but we can do it in force, and we can do it any time, and we can do it even when you're expecting us, like you probably were now.
And, you know, Israel seems to function with a certain amount of autonomy in these matters. So I really feel like we have opened up the floodgates of hell very possibly today.
I'm hoping it doesn't become World War III. You know, remember our ass is in the sling there too. We're right next door. We're just on the other side of Jordan. And
no
Jordan is a narrow little country.
And like Bob says here, you know, couldn't these geniuses have played Risk at least once? I mean, just seems like it's and like you said, the instigation comes from both sides, it seems. And have you had any kind of strategizing on these things whatsoever? I mean, you play them out, and you know, you play these decisions out, and they're going to come up badly.
I think that there is a strong belief on the part of both sides that they wish the other didn't exist, and I don't know how to get around that. You know, the Palestinians, you know, yes, they were granted some semi-autonomy, but, you know, Israel seems to feel it's right to, you know, violate that autonomy at any time if any provocation occurs. And Palestine is divided into two halves. It's not contiguous, nor does
it
have any means of communication between the two sides that isn't at Israel's whim, and they want to have a contiguous state. And the only way that's going to happen, as far as I can tell, because Israel's not going to let itself be split in two, is if somehow they can win it by force of arms. And I just don't think they realize, either they don't realize how perilous a situation they're in, some of these militants, or they know, and it's basically, you know, a suicide pact.
But it feels like, hey Ben, we've run over the bottom of the hour break.
I've had my say.
Okay, right on. Well, thanks Ben for that, and we'll have to just see what comes up. And we're really late for this break, so we'll be right back here with Foxed Up, doing the last half hour here on the Head On Radio Network.
Good morning, the world, Your Honor. The crowd will plainly show the prisoner who now stands before you was caught red-handed showing feelings of an almost human nature. This will not do. Call the schoolmaster! I am wasting content! Then let me help our way out.
there's a place on the web you can go where everything is so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. Clyde, Wally, and Dookie are there working hard for you every day. It's a place where you can go to raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. DUBYAD40.com. So stop on by. The 101st Fighting Keyboardists of Kansas are ready to hear your opinion. There are topics of news, current events, and great humor. So let Clyde, Wally, and Dookie know that you're a working person too. WD40.com. Stop on by.
Head on.
He's back.
Yes, I am.
Listen live every night. HeadOnRadio.com.
Your computer is your radio. No static, no low power signal. It's easy. Bob Kincaid, West Virginia's number one liberal talker, is back on the air. Bigger, back.
Eat ice cream too fast and you'll get a brain freeze. Always talk quietly in the library.
If you're gonna be 2 hours late, pick up the phone and call!
Remember, you're always teaching. Teach carefully. React with rage and kids will learn it's okay to do the same. Keep your cool and kids will do likewise. For advice, visit actagainstviolence.org. Brought to you by MetLife Foundation, National Association for the Education of Young Children, and the Ad Council.
Here's a test for you. Listen and identify the following water-saving devices in your home. Ready? That's the sound of water-saving device number 54, your toothbrush. Turning the water off while you brush your teeth saves more than 1,000 gallons a year. Next, that's your clock. Water-saving device number 23. Use it to reduce your shower by 5 minutes and save nearly 9,000 gallons a year. Try this one. Right. It's water-saving device number 83, your washing machine. Washing full loads of laundry or dishes can save thousands of gallons of water each year. Last clue. That's you, logging on to wateruseitwisely.com, a fun website filled with hundreds of water-saving tips from your local water utility and the Metropolitan Washington Council of Governments. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water. Use it wisely.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network with John Fox here in Sydney, Australia, and it's been an interesting evening. Bit of green rage, some very disturbing news out of the Middle East. I have a feeling starting right off with Mr. Mark Levine tomorrow afternoon at 2 Eastern. Boils will go diving straight into that, and we'll find out more. Really appreciate Ben ringing up with that. It's kind of a bit of a bummer, but we'll get away from that. Anyway, You know, before we end up getting out of here, of course, big kudos to my producer at large, Mr. Bob Kincaid, and his When He Needs a Loo Break assistant producer, Agnes Kincaid. You guys rock. The music's been just awesome tonight, man. Just really, really. And we keep this going, man. This will be an entertaining program. Whether I am or not. And don't forget, Ben Birch is running his fundraiser at the moment, so go by whiterosesociety.org and throw him a bone because, well, if you're listening to this stream, you are enjoying his handiwork. You are enjoying his hard work. He is the hardest working man in progressive talk radio. What are you up to, something like 6 million hours or something like that over there? It's just insane. But, you know, throw him a bone. Keep this thing going. Keep this thing growing. Uh-oh. All right, I'm getting more news. Israel seizes Palestinian deputy prime minister. And legislators kidnapped settler dead. I'm opening up links as we speak. Okay, I've just been sent from the home studio in wonderful West Virginia. From 940news.com says, Israel seizes Palestinian deputy prime minister and legislators. Kidnapped settler says said dead at 11:49 on the 28th. Israeli forces rounded up Palestinian cabinet members and legislators from the Islamic Hamas, increasing pressure on militants to release a captured Israeli soldier. And witnesses said tanks moved into northern Gaza, widening Israel's largest military operation this year since Israel pulled out of the seaside territory. This is not good, no matter how you slice it, no matter how you dice it, no matter where you sit on this issue, or whether you are planted firmly on the fence because it's bloody hard. So if... Oh, man. I'm just going to leave that one there because I just can't end on this kind of a bummer. The boys are going to pick this up tomorrow, you know. We've got a full day of pro to press you with, but I just... This whole thing couldn't have been played out worse. You know? Yeah. I agree with you, Bob. There's people itching to do some really, really silly things. Boy, haven't we been watching that with our current administration. Now, supposedly on the lighter... On the lighter side, from Newsmax.com, I am sent this. Hillary in tragic flag flap with liberals. Last year, Senator Hillary Clinton was hammered by the left for co-sponsoring legislation to criminalize desecration of the American flag. On Tuesday, she again co-sponsored an anti-desecration bill with different results. This year's bill was intended to be an alternative to the constitutional amendment banning flag desecration opposed by Clinton. That was about to come up for a vote in the Senate. Clinton's measure failed to garner enough votes, as did the proposed amendment. This time, more than half of the Democrats backed the legislation. The outcome indicated that Clinton's position now has plenty of support within her party, and she remained within the Democratic fold as she prepared for possible presidential race, the New York Times reports. But liberal political commentator Arianna Huffington is sharply critical of Clinton's stance. Thank you, Arianna. It seems in line with her stance on so many issues, trying to strike right in the middle and triangulate. By not supporting the amendment because that would upset the base too much, and at the same time supporting a legislative proposal that will appeal to the center, Huffington said. It's truly a tragic way of leading. Exactly. And this is why I think I really, 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 really think that Hillary Clinton ain't the answer. In fact, she's more of the problem. And I hate saying that about a leading Democrat, But that's just the way it is, folks. I'm past looking at what label you put on your name. It's the policy you try and put forth that makes you progressive. And if you go and find this story at Newsmax.com, there's a picture of Ann Coulter, and yes, it does look like she has 5 o'clock shadow. Now that you mention it. But it did look like they tried to hide the Adam's apple a bit. And she does look like Alice Cooper. But Alice, I have respect for Alice. I have a lot of respect for Alice, actually. But, you know, this whole Israel thing's just got my head spinning, because this really could just open up the floodgates, and I really hope that it doesn't. I mean, obviously. You know, we've already, through years and years of conflict over the oil and over ideology and religion, we've stripped the ecology of the Middle East. It's a burnt-up dust bowl when it used to be, you know, figs and, you know, people could grow food. They wouldn't have to ship it in. You know, it all comes down to the simple things, you know, people eating, people having shelter from the weather. You know, and I think I'm gonna do more on these green issues on this program. See if we can get some green guests in too, because, and green, it's just kind of like I don't even really like the term. I think it's actually people to give us the reality check we need, because we're in desperate need of one when it comes to this planet, you know. And here I'm going back to, you know, the environment, when, you know, we could have just unlocked Pandora's box in the Middle East. But wars affect the environment. So sorry, it's all part of the same problem. Just one of the many causes of the depletion of the ecosystems. You know what? I have strong suspicion, Bob and Agnes, that, you know, this move that we've been talking about takes place. I'm going to end up becoming fervent involved in the mountaintop removal thing. Because these, you know, it's just the blind misuse of this planet, you know, and where some folks who say follow more, I don't know, pagan type things, look and refer to the earth as the earth mother, and you get everything from that mother, and you should show that mother respect. And we don't. We just don't. It's a really great track from Days of the New, which I'll get put into the playlist maybe for tomorrow night, called Face of the Earth. And he says, you know, I am the dirt beneath your feet. You walk on me. I am the face of the earth. And that earth has an angry, fairly pissed off and pained look on her face. And as the old ad used to say, it's not nice to fool Mother Nature. And Mother Nature is going to end up kicking back. And she's going to end up making it so we can't stay here anymore. And it's not going to happen in any of our lifetimes, but it could happen in your kids. That's what freaks me out. In the last couple of years, I've come to understand that this could actually all kind of like really get atrocious in my son's lifetime. And that's not just someone trying to scare people. That's just having spent enough time reading enough research papers from enough places to understand that no one's lying to you when they say the consensus of scientists say we got to do something fast. So anyway, we're coming up towards the end of this here edition of Foxed Up. I really thank everybody for being a part of things. I thank Ben for his call. It's hard news to swallow, but we need to stay abreast of these things. Lilo for ringing in. You know, maybe we can work on making the conversation of things in the environment and how we live on and in this planet. Because, you know, I mean, this is all we got. You know? See if we can make this something compelling and see if maybe we can help not start something, but maybe give a little bit of fuel to the projects that some people have already started. And, you know, and here I've only had a few brainstorming sessions in theoretical terms with my friend who works on electrical grids. But we came down to that mathematically, it is actually very, very doable to leave less of an imprint on this planet. Because, you know, most of your Native Americans have it right. You know, we are just caretakers. We're just caretakers. And it's not ours. The idea that we sell real estate to me is just a complete fraud. How do you sell something that's not yours? Just my question. You know, it is a concept that really blows my mind. Because the idea of ownership means that, you know, it is there for you for a finite time. To be a caretaker means you have access to its wonders. And when you're done, you need to leave it in a state for the next generation to be able to leave it in a state to pass it on to the next generation. Ha! And I'm glad I got a really silly song to go out with, because... But, you know, we gotta go here. We gotta go here. Gotta go here. Because if we don't start having the discussion, we're never going to start working on the solutions. And you don't have to have a perfect answer before you start doing it. And we'll see about getting some of these people that, you know, have done these kind of things. Because, I mean, it's something that I want to do. I don't want to buy someone's house. I want to build one of my own in which I have used already spent energy to create it and use recent sunlight to power it. Pretty simple. Thank you so much for joining in the program, folks. This brings the broadcast day of the Head On Radio Network to a close. Don't forget, 2 p.m. tomorrow, it all kicks right back off. Hot and Heavy with Mark Levine, Guy James, Bruce Birch, my wondrous producer, Mr. Bob Kincaid, and as usual, everything on the Head On Radio Network has been brought to you by the District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights of West Virginia. They are building the American dream each and every day, and I guess Wayne couldn't stay up tonight, could he? Probably not. Anyway, folks, I really appreciate it. You watch your back. Try and think green. Carry your bags to the grocery store every time. Walk to your local shops. Buy from your local grocer. you can with your own dollar direct who's burning what power and how much.
You know, you never
try and find where you can actually buy your milk from a local dairy. And I'm going to leave it there, folks. Enjoy the Folksman. This is John Fox on the Head On Radio Network. And as always, 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 RMR, it's all for you.
It's a family crowd. Are we sure of that? An extended family crowd.
Yeah.
Get more extended all the time. We learned this little ditty from her, and we hope you enjoy it.
And if you know it, sing along.
Yes, I'd love to have you join us if you remember it, Mikey.
Baby, start me up. Start me up. Baby, start me up. Never stop. Baby, start me up. Start me up. Baby, start me up. Never stop. I've been running high, running high, but you got me ticking over the top. Baby, start me up. Start me up. Baby, start me up. Never stop. You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
The oil, the gasoline, I ride smooth, she's a clean machine.
So let's start it up.
Start it up.
You wanna start it, give it all you got. I can't be,
can't be,
with the riders in the underneath. You can rough it up,
rough it up.
Hey, if you like it, you can slide it up. Come on, slide it up now. Grown man cry,
cry.
Don't make a grown man cry,
cry.
Don't make a grown man cry,
cry.
My eyes dilate, my lips go green, my hands are greasy. She's a mean machine.
You make a dead man come.